Good morning. I'd like to call the meeting of the Travis Central Appraisal District Board of Directors to order. The time is 11:32 on Friday, October 23rd, 2020. We are conducting this meeting via Zoom meeting service and a quorum is present. The first item on our agenda is citizens' communication. I have one citizen that I believe has signed up, Jeff Picard.
I don't show him on our participant list.
I don't think he's here.
Okay. We will move on to the consent agenda, item four. These items may be acted upon by one motion, no separate discussion or vote on any item. Of the items will be had unless requested by a board member. I'll give the board members some time to review the associated agenda items, and I'll entertain a motion.
I'll move to approve the consent.
Second.
Okay, the item has been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, let's take a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes unanimously. We'll move on to our regular agenda. 5A, discussion and possible action on purchase from State of Texas DIR contract number DIR TSO 4288 of Carsoft Technology Corporation TransUnion Enhanced Real Estate Report.
And I have a PowerPoint presentation that I will share with you. Can you guys see that? Okay.
I can.
Yes.
Good. So this is a potential new solution for the acquisition of market data for the appraisal district. Just to give you a little history of where we were at, our access to sales data in Texas. Texas is a non-disclosure state. However, that does not mean that Texas prevents appraisal districts from acquiring data. In fact, state law anticipates that appraisal districts are going to acquire sales data and that we'll utilize it to meet our statutory requirements to appraise properties at market value. However, access to sales data in a non-disclosure state has always been a challenge for appraisal districts. It's a challenge not only for us, but it's a challenge for appraisal districts across the state. We use a variety, and in the past have used a variety of sources to compile our data to include questionnaires, protest deeds, and importantly, third-party vendors to get market data. But last year, we had some issues. In February of 2018, we signed an agreement with a company called CoreLogic to provide us market data. However, in May of 2019, the Austin Board of Realtors sent us a cease and desist letter requesting that we stop using the data. They felt that there was a violation between CoreLogic in providing the data to us. In December 2019, ABOR announced a settlement with CoreLogic, and in February, we were required to inform our taxing entities because of the issues with ABOR and CoreLogic and the fact that CoreLogic was no longer upholding their contract with us and providing us the data, that we were unable to recalibrate our appraisal models. And there was a lot of concern about that, a lot of concern moving forward. How would we be able to appraise our properties given a lack of market data? ABOR's actions on the CAD had a real chilling effect on our ability to get data. You know, the CoreLogic contract was newer for us. But when that stopped being effective for us, we went back to some of our other traditional sources, but they also had gotten a similar message not to share information with the appraisal district. So it was really, really difficult for the appraisal district to get information. Again, we don't have access to multiple listing services. We sent out sales questionnaires, but we get limited return on that. Title companies and financial institutions weren't really willing to share information from us. So a lot of the traditional resources that we used to use in the past and that are used by other appraisal districts were not available to the appraisal district last year. Just to give you an example of what we typically would see in terms of market data that we would be able to acquire, in any given year, we usually see anywhere from 15,000 to 20,000 transactions. Last year, we saw 19,000 transactions that we feel were sales in our market, but we were only able to get just a little bit more than 2,000, almost 3,000 of those sales. So that's a 15% return on that sales information, whereas we typically would get somewhere closer to 95, 96% of all sales. So it was really, really difficult for us. The information just was not there for us to be able to recalibrate models. ABOR offered to give us aggregate data by zip code, which would just be a percentage by zip code. But for us, it would have been illegal for the appraisal district to change the market values without having the backup data to support those changes. Using the aggregate data across the board for across the board changes would violate the property tax code. It would violate the International Association of Assessing Officers standards that were required to follow. And it would also violate the Uniform Standards of Professional Appraisal Practices, which were also required to adhere to. So it was a problem for us. We could not just simply use aggregate data. We have to have each individual sale that we're going to use, and we have to notate the characteristics of those sales and maintain a file of all that information. And we cannot do that if we only had aggregate data. We analyzed the few sales that we did have, but upon analyzing that, they were just insufficient for us to recalibrate our appraisal models for tax year 2020. We did pick up new construction. We did have sufficient information in commercial to make changes to commercial property. And then we also looked at residential properties that had permits and other characteristic changes to make sure that we got the characteristics correct. But in terms of valuation model corrections and calibrations based on market data, it just was insufficient last year. So our values for 2020 on residential properties, for the most part, did not change. There were some properties that were below their homestead limitation that even though the market value did not increase, they did see an increase in their assessed value as they continue to catch up with the cap because they had the protection of a homestead cap limitation in prior years. They were catching up to the cap in 2020. So they did see some increase, but again, by and large, most market values from the appraisal district did not change. Property owners were still able to protest in 2020, even though we did not recalibrate and change our appraisals, they were still able to protest. So we saw over 120,000 protests this year. It's slightly down than what we had in years past, but it's still a substantial number of protests. So it did not prohibit any property owner or tax agent from being able to protest the appraised values for 2020. We're required to follow the IAAO standards for sales verification and acquisition of market data. And some of the market data resources that they recommend we go to are real estate transfer documents, sales verification questionnaires, information from buyers and sellers, and third parties. And we've explored all of those different avenues. The real estate transfer documents, those are the deed transaction, deed contracts. In the state of Texas, they're not required to include sales information. Usually it'll just say something like $10 and other valuable consideration. So there's not a lot of valuable information that we can get from transfer documents. We sent out sales questionnaires last year. We sent out over 20,000 sales letters and we got 2,900 back. So again, we get very nominal response to the sales questionnaires that we do send out. Typically they tend to be sales on the lower end. If their sale price is higher than what they see the appraisal district has on their property, they tend not to submit that information to the appraisal district. And that's from the buyers and sellers. And then we get some information potentially from third-party sources. Third-party sources include multiple listing service, but we know that we don't have access to multiple listing services. We can use title companies, but our title companies were not willing to provide information to the appraisal district. Financial institutions, again, it was a really chilling effect that we didn't see that financial institutions were willing to cooperate and provide information to the appraisal district. You've got leasing agencies and property managers, real estate agents and brokers, who in the past used to provide the appraisal district information, but subsequent to the position that Austin Board of Realtors took, they were no longer willing to provide that information to the appraisal district. There's some limited data that you may be able to get from government or private fee appraisers, but those are usually based on government transactions, their purchases and acquisitions, and it's very limited in data. Sometimes you can get it from attorneys, appraisal organizations, but the biggest source of third-party data is from data vendors and vendors that specifically provide that information for sale. So since May of 2019, we have inquired of other appraisal districts and assessing officers on what kind of resources they use to market data to see if there were any resources that were available that we had not explored. And I talked to assessing officers across the United States, from Pennsylvania to California and all parts in between. I talked to assessing officers in Canada, some in the European Union and Ireland, talked to some of them in Asia. And we just cast a really wide net to see if there was anything out there that we would be able to utilize as a source of information for Travis Central Appraisal District. And in 2020, we received a lead about the assessor's office in Cook County, Illinois, on a potential product that was going to be offered by a company called Carisoft Technology. Carisoft specializes in technology and data solutions for federal, state, and local government agencies. And they're an aggregator of big data from multiple proprietary sources and various partners that they have. And so we started contacting Carisoft to see what kind of information that they had that might be available to the appraisal district. And it wasn't any product that was available at the time that we started our conversations with them, but it is something that they have since added. And what they have is that it's called Carisoft's TransUnion, who is their partner, Enhanced Real Estate Report. And you know, per their materials, it's providing property appraisers with instant access to current data that they can properly report changes that impact property values and the owner's tax obligation. It features up-to-date reports on property characteristics, including square footage, structural changes, number of bedrooms and baths, sales prices, historical sales prices, and sales data. So it was a very interesting product for us. We were highly interested and had many conversations with this group in order to see if it was something that would be available and useful to the appraisal district. And it was. It is a new product that it was added to the State Department of Information Resource contract. It's contract DIRTSO4288. And it was added in the summer of 2020. So this summer we had them give us a pilot test of sample data so that we could verify the accuracy of the information included in the report. And it was a successful pilot. We were able to verify that the data that we were getting was of quality and was accurate. So we feel confident that it is good market data that they're providing to us in their enhanced real estate report. Questions for us, and it was a question that we brought up to them, it will not violate the ABOR cease and desist letter. Carisoft TransUnion's enhanced real estate report is a proprietary product owned and offered by Carisoft and TransUnion. And TransUnion is a company with 90,000 data sources, including financial institutions, private databases, public records repositories, and it's aggregated by over 200 data scientists across 25 data centers distributed globally. So they have a variety of data sources that they utilize to compile and create this product that we're going to be used. It is proprietary, so we don't know exactly what their data sources are, but it is a proprietary TransUnion product that we will be getting, and it's called their Enhanced Real Estate Report. So our recommendation is that the CAD should use the state contract, and again, that's contract DIRTSO4288, to purchase the TransUnion Enhanced Real Estate Report for all parcels in Travis County, and purchase periodic quarterly updates reports. So the initial report and initial cost of that report for the appraisal district would be $201,788. and we estimate the cost of the periodic quarterly report would be approximately $25,000. So that is our recommendation to the board. We would like to get approval for the expenditure to purchase off the state contract. Are there any questions?
I have a question. How does this compare with what we were paying to
It is more than what we were paying CoreLogic. It's more than our CoreLogic contract. Leanna, do you know the exact amount our CoreLogic contract was?
About $25,000 annually.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, but it's a better product, and it's a product that's not going to get yanked from us.
Yes, they feel very strongly they will defend our right to have access to the data. It is their product. It is their data that they put together and are willing to provide it to us. Again, we're buying it off the state contract. So we'll go through DIR to make the purchase. And yes, it contains more information for us in terms of property characteristics and some other data elements.
So basically going forward, it's about $100,000 a year.
Yeah, we would get a periodic quarterly report. So yes, our cost will get down. The initial cost we need to run for a full file for all of our parcels. And then subsequently to that, we can do targeted batch requests for updates on targeted parcels that we need to get an update on.
Did we ask TransUnion if one of their data sources was the ABOR MLS data?
We had a full-throated conversation. We provided them all of our information, and they reviewed it. Their attorneys went through it and assured us that that would not be a problem for them. Again, it's proprietary for them. The data sources are proprietary, so they have not disclosed to us exactly what their data sources are, but they have given us assurances that that will not create a problem for them.
Cool.
And in order to facilitate this, let's get a motion on the table, and I would move approval.
The motion's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Is there any further discussion?
Yeah, I had a question. You said to using the state of Texas contract. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Does the state of Texas already license this information also?
The state of Texas, they're Department of Information Resources does some pre-negotiation for contracts that they make available for all governmental entities to purchase off of the state contract. So the state has done the negotiations on pricing and all that information. We can buy directly from the state contract. We don't have to go out and do RFQs or RFPs on it if we're purchasing directly from the state contract. So this is something that the state has negotiated the contract. The contract is with the state. But because we are a political subdivision of the state, we're able to purchase the data.
So how long has the state been utilizing this Carahsoft software?
This is a new product that was added to the state contract in this summer. So this is something that is just brand new, been added to the state contract. The state has had a contract with Carahsoft for several years. But this is a brand new product added to the existing state contract, and that just happened this summer.
Okay, so we never had the option to use it before. It was just added.
It was not available before. No, it was not. It just became available this summer.
So I have another question. Is this going to be, are you going to get commercial data from this too?
This data focused primarily on residential and vacant land. There's limited commercial data on it. There is some, but we find that it is best suited for residential data.
Okay.
So given the information, we're optimistic that if we have this information, that we may be able to recalibrate our appraisal models for 2021. Of course, we will continue to seek additional market data from alternate sources, including deeds and the contracts and the questionnaires. But again, based on the limited responses that we got from the questionnaires, we need some supplemental sources of data, and we think this is a good supplemental source.
Have we received our property value study for this year yet?
No, property value studies, they will release some preliminary results usually towards the end of December, maybe January. Given that we've got COVID-19, I don't know if there will be any delays in the release of the results, but we don't get those till end of year.
Is there any further discussion on this item? Hearing none, let's take a vote. All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes unanimously. We will go to item 5B, discussion of possible action on administrative judge's appointment and reappointment or replacement of appraisal review board members.
So at our last meeting, the board determined the number of ARB members that we would have for next year. And we also identified for the board that we had several current ARB members that were not participating. And a request was made of the judge to replace those members and give us members that would participate. But the judge has refused to replace the existing members. She is working on appointing the new members that we will need for next year. But not having a full complement of ARB members has been a strain on both the appraisal district, property owners, the tax agents, and the ARB. We have appointed and have membership where we should be able to fulfill 40 to 45 panels, but we have at best been able to run 23 to 24 panels this year just because of the lack of participation. And the lack of attendance at the hearings. So we would like the board to send a letter to the administrative judge, stressing to her the importance of appointing members that will participate when called and give us a full complement of ARB members. You know, given the short number and the small number of ARB members and the limited capacity, it has put a strain on our ability to get through the volume of protests that we have. It is vitally important that we have a full complement of ARB members and that they're all participating if they're being appointed to the ARB, and that if they're not going to participate, that we have replacement members that can step in and fill that gap. Because again, it has been very, very difficult for the appraisal district and the ARB and the tax agents and the property owners to get through our volume when we don't have enough panels for the work that we have. We've got capacity on the appraisal district side, and we have capacity on the tax agent side. We're limiting in the capacity of the ARB, and that has really become a real roadblock for us. So we want to stress that importance so that next year, as we start the season, we've got a complement of ARB members that understand the importance of their attendance at the hearings, and that we have everybody show up and do the job that they've been appointed to.
It makes sense to me.
So is there anything that we can do to have the judge appoint more members?
You know, all that we can do is make the request. And if we don't have any recourse.
But we can't directly talk to the judge, right? Who would make that request?
We can submit a letter to our taxpayer liaison and have the taxpayer liaison communicate that to the judge.
So should we motion to draft a letter to the liaison to submit to the judge for more ARB appointees?
Yeah, stressing the importance of attendance and that we appoint members that will attend the hearings when they're called to be members of panels.
All right, I'll move that we send a letter to our liaison to the judge, the importance of assigning sufficient number of ARB board members.
And I think, Mr. Wynn, I think we have a sufficient number. We asked the judge for 200 members next year, so we should have more than enough members appointed. The importance is that the members that are appointed have to be willing to attend and participate. Giving me 200 people that don't participate is a problem. I need 200 members that will actually participate. So it's not just about the number, it's about their participation.
So if what should we ask for 300 and hope we get 200, or should we ask them her to remove the ones that aren't participating and appoint new members?
I think removal of the ones that aren't participating is what we're looking for here, right?
We're looking for both removal of the ones that aren't participating, but as she's interviewing and adding new members on, to stress the importance to the people that she's going to appoint, that if they're going to accept the appointment, they have to participate when called. They have to be available to do the job.
So it sounds like our request is 200 active members, like willing and participating members. So however she gets to that, but we can't have 150 only who do that. They need to get to 200 active willing participant members.
Correct.
Anthony, do you want to make any edits to that language before you get
Yeah, I guess it wasn't seconded, so I'll move that we send a letter to our liaison for the judge to have 200 active ARB members, and for her to reiterate the importance of being active, and if they're not active, they shouldn't be on the ARB.
A second.
Okay, that has been moved and seconded. Any further discussion on that item? Hearing none, we'll take a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All those opposed? Motion passes unanimously. We'll move on to item 5C, discussion and possible action on litigation and appeals related to pending lawsuits and anticipated lawsuits.
And I don't think that we have any additional update at this time. Dusty, do we have any updates?
We do not. We have nothing to present to the board.
Okay, so we'll move on to item 5D, discussion and possible action to add items to future agendas.
I had one item, and I think we talked about this last year, but I don't recall ever having it on the agenda, but we had talked about reviewing the blanket order to approve lawsuits, and I don't think we've ever done that, have we? And maybe with the COVID and lockdown, we just forgot about it, but I would like to revisit that.
Would you mind explaining that a little bit more thoroughly?
Yeah. Remember, there was a lawyer that came to us saying that it was against state law for the appraisal district to file a lawsuit without board approval. And apparently, even before my time, more than 3 years ago, the board had approved a blanket approval that the chief appraiser could just file suit on anybody and didn't need approval from the board. And I believe that lawsuit went and was appealed, and maybe Dustin can give us some background. And the judge said, no, yes, we do need board approval. It can't be a blanket, every individual lawsuit that a CAD files against a property owner needs to go through our board. So I think it's worth a discussion to review that, if we can do that or not, because I do think, you know, we should probably be approving these lawsuits.
That decision is actually currently under appeal. Right now, we've already submitted our brief in that matter. So the appellate court, Fifth Court of Appeals, the Austin Court of Appeals has not ruled on that issue yet, because it hasn't even gone to them for consideration yet, because they haven't submitted their brief. So if we were to take up that issue before that matter is decided by the appellate court, we would only be undermining our position in that matter. So I would highly recommend that we don't do anything with regards to that issue until that's heard by the Court of Appeals. Because basically, in effect, if you did something like that, you would be taking your own rights and powers away.
Well, the district court did agree with the plaintiff that we weren't following the letter of the law, right?
Right. And I won't explain. See, I don't want to get in on live record explanation about how judicial politics goes. But district court is not always the decider of case law. That's why you have a court of appeals.
Anthony, maybe we should just postpone this item. Not that we shouldn't discuss it, but perhaps postpone it until after we get something from the court.
I agree. I think that's a reasonable action. Does that sound reasonable, Anthony?
Well, you know, we asked about this a year ago. So, you know, if you don't think it's important, then that's fine. I do think it's something that we should review. So if it's under appeal, then we can wait for after the appeal. That's fine.
Yeah, it's not that it's not important. It's a matter of timing, I think, more than anything.
Absolutely.
Right. And obviously, going to COVID, this appeal should have already been done months ago. However, everything in the court systems are backed up. So that's kind of a reason for you mentioning it a year ago and it not being resolved until now, or not even yet.
Okay, that's fine.
Do we have any other items that need to appear on a future agenda, or do we want to go ahead and schedule our next meeting, Maria?
Yes, I think we've got a tentative for the first week in December. It is our annual meeting that we handle any budget amendments that we might have to do. And so that would, I believe we've got December.
We tentatively scheduled for December 3rd.
Thank you.
Here's what I found.
So if December 3rd is still a good date for you guys, I think we should keep that.
My note said December 1st, but maybe it was wrong. But yeah, either day is fine with me.
Either day is fine with me.
You want to go 11:30, December 3rd?
That's December 1?
December 3rd.
3rd. Yeah, it will work.
One of the things that we'll need to put on that agenda, or just to put a bug in your ear to think about it, it is the end of year, so it's always time for my contract renewal. So that might be an agenda item that you might want to do at that meeting as well.
I'm sorry, Mario, say that one more time.
It's end of year, and my contract expires December 31st. So that's something that you may want to put on that December meeting.
Oh, absolutely. Anything else to appear on that agenda? Okay, hearing none, I think we'll go to 5E, motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. The Travis Central Appraisal District Board of Directors stands adjourned at 12:05 p.m.
Thank you, guys.
Good day.
Everybody stay safe.